Welcome back as the IFC presents another episode of the Four Archetypes of Destiny. My name is James Malamus. We've got a great episode for you. Today we will dive into a film, Harmony, and how it relates to Jam. It's a great discussion. We can't wait for you to hear it. If you enjoy the IFC's The Four Archetypes and want to support, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. So without any further ado, Dr. El Samurai, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode of The Four Archetypes. I am Dr. Wahab El Samurai, and with me today, as always, Dr. Eric Tomlinson is here with us. Dr. Lisa Hong is here with us. And we are back. I think we're missing Whit. All right. Mr. Whitman is not with us today. I don't know. He's up to something. But I am sure he will come back and inform us of whatever he's been up to. So today, we are going to dive into, not as always, we're going to dive into a movie. I know we've done this before, but let me have everybody kind of take a second for station identification and say hello. Dr. Lisa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today, Dr. Bob?
Well, you know, we did a couple of promos for the IFC conference, so come join us for that. We are having a conference in Seattle. Dr. Eric's going to be live. Dr. Lisa's going to be live. We're all going to be at the conference. We're also going to talk about at the conference about the podcast, what are our thoughts about the podcast, what we've been doing for the past, 3 years. We've done like 4 seasons of what we started with was the IFC's Individuation Podcast, and now is the Four Archetypes. And we are listed under the Archetypes of Destiny. So just in case you don't know how to identify us, we are listed under the Archetypes of Destiny on Spotify, on Apple, on all, wherever, Stitcher. There's a bunch of stations that we are on. So join us at the conference. You can get more information at www.instituteforconflict.com. It's going to be in October on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. We're going to be in downtown Seattle. Dr. Eric, how are you doing today?
Well, and bienvenidos, mis amigos. Glad you joined us.
Gracias, Dr. Eric. Okay, so today, we're going to dive into a movie called Harmony, and also called Absolution. So there's two names to it. We're going to talk about the summary of the movie. The movie is not the most sophisticated piece of work that people have made. It's a old story that's been retold several different times. Our interest in the movie is because, as a fairy tale, and we are storytellers, we like to talk about fairy tales. We like to talk about stories. As a story, it's a unique story. But as a story that has that tells another story, it's, in the movie, it's hit and miss. I enjoyed it personally. I don't know about you, Dr. Lisa. What did you think of it?
The scripting was somewhat predictable. It's not as hooky as a lot of the productions we have these days. It's, and just so everybody knows, we watched this on YouTube. Mm. So please watch the movie and come back and listen to this, or listen to this first and then watch the movie. But it's called Harmony, also found under as Absolution, as you had mentioned. Put out in 2018, a bunch of younger actors. But as a fairy tale story, it's cute.
Yeah.
Leave it that.
And we like to tell fairy tales. This is why we are going to dive into this story.
Yeah, and they put in the gratuitous romance storyline in there that was that necessary? That's up to I'd like to just
I would like to get into that. I think symbolically it was necessary, but not really in reality necessary. Like in the movie itself, it could have been something that they could have told a secondary story from, but yeah. So it's, you know, it's one of those stories that it depends on your perspective of how you like to watch your stories. Still a story. It's a well-done movie. Dr. Eric, what are you thinking today?
I'll be the Siskel to Dr. Lisa's Ebert.
Okay.
First of all, I agree with her. I agree that it was simplistic in many ways. I agree that it was predictable in many ways. I agree that the love story wasn't necessary to tell the true story of what they were, the point they were making. But when you look beyond that, maybe one of the things that helped me to look beyond it is I just seen a 2-hour podcast from Dr. Joe Dispenza yesterday about Know Thyself, which covered a number of the elements that I saw in the movie. And therefore I loved the movie, because it talked a lot about what's beyond the observable, what's beyond fear, what's beyond love. The process of acceptance and the process of becoming more as a result of that acceptance. That's the message that I saw in the movie. And I thought it was terrific.
Ooh. So maybe we should do a summary of the story just to kind of, because we jumped into some of the ideas, but let's do a summary of the story. So Dr. Lisa, would you like to take us into the summary, or Dr. Eric, would you like to take us into the summary of the story? I'm happy to do it also.
I can start. Yeah. It starts on one day a child is born at a hospital.
Doesn't it always start that way? A child is born?
Oh, I thought you'd say one day.
Yeah. Unto us a child is born.
Yes, this miracle child, because something always happened. Uh-huh. In that room, for it seemed to occur spontaneously, where the babies were crying and they were all in their individual resting pod. I don't know what it's called. They're all in the nursing room. And
I like resting pod.
Thank you. and there were some universal distress among the infants, and they all started to gravitate, like physically gravitate on the rollers towards one bassinet.
Yeah.
And there was an energetic pull for all those babies at that moment. And at that time, a nurse observed this movement and scooped up that child who was the center force of that energetic pull. Would one of you like to take over?
Yeah, so the story starts with a child who's overwhelmed by the fear of the other little babies in around it. And then absorbs their fear, they start cooing, and the child starts to choke and cry and yell. So as she is yelling, as Dr. Lisa said, a nurse comes and takes the child. Now, so the movie starts with a kidnapping, right? So she basically smuggles this little baby out of the hospital under her clothes, and from there suddenly we don't really get, I think this is where the movie could have done a lot better. We don't get the story of the child, the baby, through their childhood, through their adolescence, into their adulthood. What we get is another view of the baby as an adult. And suddenly she's an adult. And what she does is that she skips through the city at night and finds people who are in great distress and uses her power. She puts her hands on their head, her hands around their head, and she removes the fear that is infested in them. And one of those people that she ends up saving is a woman who is having trauma, and she is having flashbacks of what happened to her family, to her husband and to her child, who were crushed in a car accident that she believes she was the cause of. She wasn't paying attention or something, and she caused this crash, and they died, and she survived. So survival is guilt. So, and this person is a psychiatrist, some kind of therapist, right, Dr. Lisa? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Eric, you want to take it from here?
The absorption of fear, one of the things that stuck out to me is the absorption of fear produced a thick, black, gooey liquid in her that fills her up, and she experiences a tremendous amount of pain. She told her, one of her guides, that it hurts. And she has to relatively soon wash it out. Ooh. And she does that with water.
She has to soak herself in like a huge tub of water, and it oozes out of her skin as like a, like an oil goo.
Yeah, black oil.
Black oil goo that turns the tub into black water. And she walks out, she emerges, and then she is exhausted. Right, Dr. Eric?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great lesson for us that whatever it is, fear, anxiety, we need to use whatever means is necessary. And I always point this out in podcasts, is it's usually initiated by an outside source. Usually it's other people. It can be something else, but it's usually outside sources that we need to stimulate the release. And then the rest of the release is done on our own. But if we don't get that out relatively soon, we will be poisoned by it emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, mentally. So really, really great lesson by that in watching it.
So there's another counterpart in the movie. So all those children in the movie that started as babies in their resting pods, as Dr. Lisa put it. So all these babies in their resting pods who came actually grow up. You see them in the movie. They don't have like a full kind of written out characters, but they appear, and you kind of, there is some kind of summary to what they do. So one of them has no empathy, right? And likes to inflict pain and fear on people. So these are the two polar opposite forces in the movie. So she has somebody who inflicts fear and pain, lives on fear and pain and rage. So he is unconsciously looking for her. She is unconsciously avoiding him. There's another character in the movie who...
Can I interject something real quick?
Go for it.
Because it was such a great point you just made. Because all of their mothers died in childbirth.
Yes.
So they were all left without their mother.
That's why the nurse smuggled her out of the hospital. She didn't want her to go into foster care. She felt that she would have been tortured there. These are parts of the story that you kind of have to piece together. They don't kind of spell it out for you. They don't tell that story, but you kind of put these pieces together. Go on, Dr.
And so it just goes to show that people who have been traumatized can go in different directions.
Correct.
They're not doomed for one particular journey only.
Yes.
With the help of others and through their own self-determination and resiliency, they can move in a very different direction for Correct. Good. So that's a lesson for all of us.
Yeah.
Who can feel trapped.
So what we do in JAMP and Jungian Advanced Motor Processing, what makes this movie interesting and fascinating, is that the coach is moving the fear, right? So they're sublimating, they're helping sublimate the fear from the individual because it's disassociated within the psyche as a feeling state. So that feeling state that exists absorbs a lot of energy, absorbs a lot of power, and makes it for the individual who has gone through the trauma, torture, right? So in the movie, what she does is she puts her hands on them and she removes their fear. She absorbs their trauma. She helps them be released from it, which is something very similar to what we do in Jungian Advanced Motor Processing. What really, I mean, I don't know if it grabbed your attention or Dr. Lisa's attention. I don't know. It'd grab my
very
attention
much so.
Right away.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
Yes, and it also implies the vulnerability of transference of those energies.
Yes.
Coaches.
And the need for us, and the need for when we engage in that to get help to be able to ensure that we release it.
Yes.
And don't internalize it.
Yeah. So the absorption of this fear, or the movement of this fear, or the sublimation of this fear, the working through of the treatment, we basically move the fear. It's the release of the fear. It's the movement of the fear. It's the sublimation of the fear. We move the fear. Now, the problem with fear is that it spreads. If you've ever been in a crowd, fear spreads very quickly, right? Dr. Luigi calls it... Dr. Luigi talks about it as the contagion effect. There is a contagion piece to the fear, right? It catches you, then suddenly it becomes yours. It's not the outside. And this is why she had to rush home in the movie, as the story goes, to get into the water, because otherwise it would kill her, the absorption of all that fear. So in the movie, what happens later is after she saves this psychiatrist, she calls her, she finds her place destroyed, and she calls her for work, basically. Like, can I help somebody and can I get a donation to kind of fix my situation? She lives on the edges of poverty. She lives in an abandoned place. Most of the stuff in the place have been dragged from the street. The water has to be kind of carried in into the tub. It's not like there's no real running water. in the apartment. And the apartment is discovered by her antagonist, the Shadow, right? The one who basically lives off the fear of others, right? She removes the fear of others so they could live. This counterpart lives off the fear of others. So she ends up going to see the psychiatrist and helping this young couple who have been traumatized by losing a baby in a very violent way. And she is able to remove their fear. At this party, she is met by this other empath who was also born at the same time as the other babies.
And adopted by the psychiatrist.
Thank you. So go on. Take it from there.
No, I think once this was, I found this interesting. Once the mother had been healed, the scales from her eyes dropped, so to speak. It opened up her perspective on things, and she saw immediately and felt immediately the connection between her son and Harmony.
Ooh.
And was encouraged by his interest in her. Even told him that he looked normal.
Mm.
So I found that really interesting.
And he does not affect her in the same way that everybody else does, because everybody else walks around with fear. So she avoids touching people as she walks around. If you're an empath, you know this. It's very difficult to be around people who are in a great deal of pain, or anxiety, or irritation, or anger. Because being around them, you start to feel that irritation, that pain, that anger. So in her case, it's literal, where it's a matter of touch. Now, this also happens to empaths, where if somebody is holding something that is painful, and they're trying to hide it, and they come say hello to you, you could feel that there's something wrong, right? So the movie is also about how, as an empath, to deal with other people's feeling states, right? So there's this whole different thing. So when these two characters meet, they look like twins that were split at birth. The way they stare at each other, the way they look at each other, and the way their energies don't bother each other. He is the only one that doesn't drain her ability to live, right? So part of the fairy tale is that fear drains your life force, which is, in a lot of ways, is true.
Yes.
It drains your energy. It drains your will to survive. It drains your ability to fight. The more fear you carry, the more stuck you are, the more frozen in time you are.
Right. And in the movie's literal translation, the fear that you carry is actually toxic to yourself. And it's manifested as being toxic to Harmony when she picked it up, but it's existing in other people, and they're unable to evolve or live in freedom.
Fear takes away freedom. So freedom and fear are on the same axes. So freedom would be on one axis, one end of the axis, and fear would be on the other. So as Jung says, that everything has a bipolar nature to it. One thing does not exist without the other. There's a counterpart. So the feeling of freedom, the feeling of being liberated, the feeling of being untouched, the feeling of being brave, of strong, of movement. And then there is this feeling of, on the other end, of fear, of paranoia, of disturbance, of shame, of irritation, of... So it literally kind of feeds off the life force. So some of the running themes. So running themes are, there's a life force, there's good energy, there's bad energy, there's right and wrong, there's good and evil. And that there are people who are born, and this is the beautiful part of the story. There are people who are born into this world that are here to save this world. And that there are people who are born into this world that are here to destroy this world. So that's kind of the our fairy tale part of the movie. So you have good and evil, you have the savior, and then you have the destroyer. So the theme runs through the movie. She and this young man start to get to know each other. He is trying to trace back who was born in this hospital at what time. There's a lot of sub stories that weren't really fleshed out in the movie that could have been fleshed out a little more, made the movie a little bit richer in character. So character development wasn't really done at a... We find out some things about her, but we really don't know why she exists the way she exists in the world she does. We can guess at why she exists in this way, but we're not really sure, right? She needs to be in the middle of all the pain because she is born to fix this part of a broken world. And so what's touching about the movie is that there are people who want to fix a broken world. And this is very touching about her. And this is what touched me about the movie. More than other parts of it, but really of about healing. And this is what we, as the Institute for Conflict, JAMP University, JAMP Training Institute, this is what we work on, healing. What is it to heal? What is it to heal the pain? What is it to heal the fear? What is it to move the pain and the fear? And how do we move the pain and the fear for so many people who live in pain and fear? What's incredible is that the amount of people who exist day to day with all this pain and fear and don't need to exist that way. This is what the treatment, this is what JAMP is made to do. It's to move the pain and fear. It's to help restore the health of the individual. It's helped to put the shattered pieces back together into one piece. It's to help reintegrate you, make you feel better, and so you can move with freedom in the world. Any thoughts about our characters in the movie?
Yeah, I think one thing, just kind of going along the same flow that you were talking and supporting what you said, is I found that I was really happy with this point being made in the movie, along with others we've already talked about. And that is, here's someone who was resigned to her existence. She was resigned to the fact and committed to the fact of helping others first. That was what she was living for.
Mm.
Yet at the same time, she's so resilient and so unshut down that she still maintained a desire to have human connection and love. Maybe she didn't believe it at first. In fact, she didn't. You could see that.
Well, yeah, because what was she born to do? She was born to fix others, to heal others. She wasn't born for any other task. In her mind, this is the only thing that she was made to do. And she found her humanity in that connection.
And so I thought that was really good to see that she could do. She eventually discovered that she can experience both.
Yes. Yeah. So healing has to heal the healer, so the healer can keep on healing, is the message.
Oh, that's a good way of saying it.
So for all those therapists out there who are being damaged by the work and not taking care of themselves, this is a thought. Your healing is just as important as everybody else's. Without you healing others becomes becomes detrimental to your mental health. So this is what has to be remembered. And in this movie, what's great about this movie also is that you see that over and over again. That healing takes a toll, and if you're helping somebody heal, has a price for that. You also need to heal from their journey into healing.
I'm going to use that phrase myself before you patent it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Eric.
No, thank you.
Okay. So, harmony. Interesting name. Right? What do we associate? This is why I love this aspect of the fairy tale. She is there to promote harmony. And the harmony doesn't touch her until this other kid shows up. She is not given harmony. That comes later. So at the end of the story, what happens is that she absorbs, she saves him? Does she absorb his pain?
No.
She does.
Are you talking about the counterpart child, the counterpart teenager?
Yeah, the last...
There's no transference there, which is the beauty of that relationship.
What happens with her? She is attacked in her home by her nemesis.
Yeah.
She is attacked and she is brutally beaten. And she is saved by a young man who was disabled by fear. He couldn't speak because of fear. He feared everything. He feared standing up for himself. And when she cured him of that, he came to save her. He no longer feared this gang led by this sociopathic, dangerous, brutal counterpoint.
He no longer feared the loss of being part of a collective. He didn't fear the rejection of that group. He He didn't fear losing them, I think, is being feeling accepted somewhere.
Yeah, one of the things he feared. He also feared them. He feared everything. He was so debilitated by it. But anyway, so she is beaten very badly. And when he puts his hands on her, she absorbs his rage. And he carries so much of it, it's completely overwhelming to her. He feels stronger and more powerful. She feels weaker and weaker. And then she's saved. The only way she is saved is that he realizes that he needs to, this is her soulmate, the other one that does not cause her any pain. He finds her, he's been searching for her, and he takes her into the ocean. He carries her into the ocean, and there is where absolution happens, and she is reborn. She is able to let go of all that fear, which covers a huge swath of water as he puts her in there, and she recovers, and that's the end of the movie. But it felt like one of von Franz's stories, one of the stories she dug up from these ancient cultures around the world. That's what it felt like to me. It was set in today's time, but so healing, pain, fear, and freedom.
Rebirth. So
you were saying, Dr. Go on, Dr. Eric.
The one thing I don't understand completely is what happened when she, because he was getting sick from her. The longer he was with her, the sicker he got. And something when she got in bed with him, in fact, the mother even said that he started releasing something because of her. And then when she laid in bed with him and just put her head on his chest, something happened that freed him from that. And I'm not sure what, because he was healed from whatever those negative effects were after that moment in time. And I'd like to know your opinions on that.
Yeah, so I think they are like born under the same star, I think is the old term. They are kind of the two sides of the same apple. You know, they're the feminine, masculine components of healing. So what does he do during the movie? He walks around, he tries to help people in different ways, right? He has money, and he uses money to help. He buys the hospital to save it from being taken over. So that's one of the things that he does. He seems to be some kind of philanthropist who's walking around doing things. He's doing it in one way. She's doing it another way. She's doing it at more of a personal level. He's doing it more at a collective, but they're both doing the same thing. Right. So when I think of those two, I think of, harmony does not exist without another piece. Right. To be able to hold the harmony, you need somebody to be listening to it. Right? Because your harmony is your tune. The harmony of others is the world tune. And we need to be tuned into both. Jung talks about we can't individuate without the collective. To individuate, you have to individuate within the collective.
Good point.
So I think her journey is to heal within the collective, not just to heal the collective.
So they completed one another.
I think so. I think what was missing from the original story was the origin of all those little kids. Where did they go? Because all those little kids were interconnected, right? The ones that, as Dr. Lisa said, in their space pods, their bassinets, they pulled towards her. She was the baby in the middle and all the other babies around her, and they stop crying because they're scared. She absorbs all their fear and she turns blue and starts screaming and yelling. So each of them represented different pieces in the puzzle. And I think if they had like kind of developed that part of it, I think it would be fascinating. Right? So you would know which one went where. I think somebody took a shortcut and it cost the movie. But in terms of the fairy tale, it's a beautiful fairy tale.
Yeah. Yeah, it easily could have been a four-part series.
Oh, yeah. 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 It could have been a lot more deeper. It would have probably taken a couple of hours to tell the story instead of developed. So if you want to see the story, if you want to see the movie, it's called Harmony or Absolution. It's on YouTube, so go on and check it out. All right, with that said, we are the four archetypes. And we will bid you farewell until next week. And as we always leave you with our affirmation, I am not afraid.
And I am not afraid. So say we all.
We are not afraid. So say we all. And we are the four archetypes. And we'll see you all next week. Have a good one.
Thank you for tuning into Harmony and Jam. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Al Samurai, Dr. Eric Tomlinson, and Dr. Lisa Hong. You can also find us on the IFC's YouTube. Make sure to check out the Jam Institute for Training's Archetypes of Destiny podcast as well. The IFC is a non-for-profit institution. We do not have any paid advertising for our podcast, but we do accept donations. All donations and contributions are tax deductible. You can find more info at theinstituteforconflict.com.